Charlotte, I don't know how you cope with having such beauty around you all the time. This is quite amazing.
Well, you know, my biggest problem is I never have anything to wear. And honestly, I said that last night. I thought, what am I going to wear to the opening tonight? And my daughter just looked at me like, Mom. But, you know, it's different when you look at it all the time. And there's certain pieces I'd love to wear. But, you know, if I did anything to them, and especially the 1920s, all you need is one bead to break. And unless the thing is stitched in a way that all the other beads aren't going to follow behind, you just don't wear them. They're too fragile.
Now, Charlotte, tell us the story before we have a look at some of the pieces here. Tell us how it is that you are the owner of the largest collection of vintage clothing in Australia.
Well, my American godmother, Doris Darnell, who was a Quaker living in Philadelphia, she began collecting rather just by chance. She walked by a dress shop in Bryn Mawr, near where her school was, and saw this beautiful peach slipper satin silk dress in the window. This was 1937, and she eventually got it. It was way out of her price range, but it went on sale, and, you know, so she wore it to a party, and she wore it when she went for the first time with her handsome date, whose name was Howard. And, of course, she ended up marrying him about 3 months later, getting engaged 3 months later. His name was Howard Darnell. So for her, Doris realized that actually what you wear and when you look back at it can tell wonderful stories. And also, of course, what she was doing for the next 70 years was not only collecting dresses but their stories, but she was actually recording social history through fashion. And that's what I'm fascinated about. So with Doris's collection, that was 3,500 pieces, and it has now grown to over 8,000 pieces and grows continually with donations and small purchases that I make to add to things. And I look at my collection as being really covering every aspect of a woman's wardrobe. And I do have some men's things, so I'm already eyeing off Richard's beautiful shirt that he's wearing tonight. And I have some children's clothing.
And Charlotte, where do you keep these when they're not on an exhibition?
Or in my wardrobe at home. With that many pieces, I have, there's a company, it's quite unusual, it's called Smartbox, and what they do is they build these wooden boxes. Each box fits a 1 to 2 bedroom apartment if it's packed properly, and I'm now just getting my 9th box. These 9 ginormous wooden boxes sit in a huge warehouse in Sydney. So it's all near Port Botany. It's a fabulous company, and they look after me. And, yeah, so I'm always bringing in these dresses in and out and, you know, bodies, mannequins. So it's always a bit of bit of an excitement when I arrive with a carload of things.
And locals will know that you're, as a Blue Mountains-based person, you've come out to the Central West a number of times with various items to put together for a particular theme. Why the After Five?
Well, it all started when I was approached by the director of Hazelhurst Gallery in Gaimea in Sydney. And Belinda Hanrahan loved ball gowns, and she, taking over, they hadn't done a fashion exhibition. Her dream was to have her first one being big puffy ball gowns that every, you know, woman or girl would dream to wear. So that's where it started. And, you know, when we were building this exhibition up, you know, I was saying to her, now, are we doing an exhibition on ball gowns, or are we doing an exhibition about what women wore after five and still wear after five? And, you know, Belinda was happy if there were some ball gowns included, which made me happy because I really was interested in this wonderful progress of changing silhouettes of women and what they've worn for the past 70 years. So, you know, we both got our way. We have our beautiful ball gowns, mostly in the 50s, and then we have this fabulous Michelle Jenk dress from 2007. And then, you know, we start with our wonderful Gatsby-esque, completely straight, sort of sheath-shaped dresses, and then go on into the pantsuits, the trouser suits, and the mini dresses.
Well, let's go on a little bit of a social history tour of the wonderful things that women and, oh, no, is it just women?
Yep, it's just women. Yeah, it's funny because one day I'd love to do a joint exhibition of men's and women's clothing, but unfortunately for men, really from about the Victorian era to maybe late 1950s, early 1960s, it tends to be charcoal, brown, navy, or black, and not changing drastically. And then, of course, in the 60s, we get some far-out clothing, and it's been more exciting since then. But, you know, at the moment, it's just looking at women's clothing, because I think once you bring men's clothing in, you know, it changes the whole dynamics of an exhibition, and it might look like a bit of a shop piece or something if you have a man and a woman standing together. So,
well, let's just immerse ourselves in women's fashion for just a few moments. We are the start when you first come into the gallery here. There are some wonderful with Gatsby being everything's themed Gatsby at the moment. Tell us about some of these beautiful items.
Well, there are three 1920s dresses, and each one is very different. The one we're looking at closest has this lovely silk taffeta sash, and I would assume that a younger woman would have worn that. It's quite feminine, youngish in its look, and it's got fabulous blues and reds and pink beads, beautiful glass beads on it, so it shimmers like anything. And it's also got the little cap sleeves. Then the one in the front was actually just given to me by a family in Victoria, Barb Lasky. Her grandmother wore it, bought it when they were traveling around the world in 1937, and she bought this in Berlin. And it's really exciting because the pattern on it is so wonderful. I mean, it's not girly and it's not feminine. We're talking full out. You're going to be noticed in this dress, and it's black and gold sequins. And then the other one on the other side is original to the collection when Doris gave it to me. And that one was worn by a woman, a wealthy woman from Rhode Island. And their claim to fame was that they had the third car registered in the state of Rhode Island. So, of course, that was very exciting in the 1920s. And this one is another one. It's got actually metallic beads on it. So how these things survive, because the fabric, the chiffon, is very, very delicate and fragile with these very heavy beads on it. And, of course, they would have been dancing very energetically or, you know, socializing, and every time you sit and get up and down, another sequin falls off. But I think what's important about the 1920s, aside from the fact that the Gatsby has turned it into the decade of the moment, is that many people associate flappers as being 1920s. Well, they are, but they were only really prevalent with their name, the flappers, towards the end of the 1920s. So women started off with, you know, dresses that were below the knee and quite sensible, and then they progressively got shorter as the decade went on. And so I think the flappers, it was maybe around 1926 to 29 or 25 to 28, something like that. So there were only a few years that the flappers, with their Louise Brooks bob and their lipstick and their wild habits and their dresses, were really prominent. And in between and throughout, we had dresses like this that were worn by, you know, women who were not out there as rebellious young ladies. Also, the other thing is evening wear for 1920s is either that very short cap sleeve for the two dresses or sleeveless. Long sleeves were worn during the day. So that was something I learned, which, you know, I find fascinating. I'm always learning something, not being an expert at all.
And Charlotte, what are these dresses like to wear? Are they sort of heavy with all this beading?
They're heavy, but, you know, funny enough, I've only worn a few of them. I'm just way too nervous to put them on. But the way they've been beaded, and because they're not fitted around your waist and they're loose, they actually balance really well. And as you can see on here, we have nothing holding them up so that one side's heavier than the other. So I think wearing them would have been a breath of fresh air for these women after years and decades of corsets and undergarments and things, to wear these very filmy, slender and light dresses, even with the beads, would be quite, no wonder they dance so wildly.
Now, we better keep moving our way. We're at the Bathurst Regional Art Gallery this morning. It's about 20 past 10. We're looking at the fashion after five. Fashion from the Darnell collection with Charlotte Smith. Now, there's a local connection to this dress. We've moved through to the 50s, Charlotte.
We're now 50s. We've jumped, you know, a number of decades. We're now at the 50s, and now, of course, everyone's happy we've got the ball gowns. We're looking at a dress that is sort of calf length. It was made by a woman in Orange, Barbara Cotty. I hope she doesn't mind my saying her name out loud. But she made this in 1951 when she was graduating from East Sydney Tech. And it's a wonderful story. She was living in Canoundra, was given a scholarship to go to East Sydney Tech to study dressmaking. Her father had let her use his account at Moreland Silk on George Street, I think it was, in Sydney. She went in determined that she was going to have a polka dot organza graduation dress. She found the white organza, but she couldn't find it with polka dots. So she went back to her fellow classmates at East Sydney Tech, and they hand silk screened the polka dots onto the dress. So it's very much couture, because it was all made to order for her. And then she wore this, and she very kindly gave me some other garments that she had made while she was a student at East Sydney Tech. So fabulous to have something, and this apparently is going on to the Powerhouse Dress Register, because it's a very important story about fashion, related to Australia with a very personal and very intimate story. So I'm thrilled to have it. So I hope Barbara comes and sees.
Yeah, I'm sure she will. It looks wonderful with all these other gorgeous gowns. So for Doris, the late 40s and early 50s were her favourite time?
Well, funny enough, Doris actually loved the Edwardian era. She loved the Edwardian whites with the beautiful broderie anglaise details on dresses and the lace and that lawn cotton, which is a very fine cotton. So she wore a lot of Edwardian, and she would wear the big hats with the huge ostrich feathers coming out of it. And then, of course, you know, the 50s for her was still something that she remembered. It would be like us wearing 80s. You know, it's wonderful, but, you know, you go to sort of the earlier eras. So Doris was more in the Edwardian. But, of course, the dresses that people love to come see when they see the collection are all the 50s, because, of course, it conjures up Grace Kelly and, you know, To Catch a Thief and all these fabulous moments when those dresses and the women look so incredibly beautiful.
Now, moving towards a more of an era that I can recall... And I don't mind a few of these items myself, Kai Handley, I'll tell you. We'll get some great photos up on Facebook so you can see what's happening. But in this space where we are, there's probably about 10 dresses here. It's hard to believe they're all from within the same decade or two.
Yes. Well, we're looking 60s on one side and 70s on the other. And this was where, you know, my passion for this exhibition came forward, because for me, it wasn't just about beautiful ball gowns. It's showing this wonderful progression in silhouettes that women have worn and have been acceptable to wear after five in the 60s and 70s. And of course, now we can really wear anything we want. But, you know, back in the 60s, we have a fabulous Courage mini dress that when you see the front, you'd show that to your parents as you were going out, and they'd be like, oh, that's a nice sensible dress. And then, of course, you'd walk out backwards so that they couldn't see the back, because the back is cut out so that you could definitely see the top of your bottom. Yes, so, but it's wonderful, and it's Courage, so it's quite an important designer. And then the one next to it, which I love, is by a designer who dressed Jackie Kennedy when she was First Lady, Adolfo. And what is really interesting about it, it's very heavy. You can imagine wearing it to a winter drinks party in Washington, D.C. with snow falling outside. And what's interesting is Adolfo, it's a bit of a play on shapes, because the skirt is quite full. It's stiffened with that quilting effect, but the sleeves of the dress are in a bell shape, which reflect the shape of the skirt. So for me, it's a really interesting and very, I mean, it's beautifully constructed. And then, of course, on the other side with the 70s, you have the wonderful Malcolm Starr jumpsuit. Now, you know, jumpsuit zips up the back, not very practical if you're planning on having, you know, a wild night, or you've met someone lovely and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And you're trying to look cool as you're undoing the zip. But then you've got Pucci next to it, which is a little bit more kind of old-fashioned. And that one's interesting because it's a wool top and a velvet bottom. And yet Pucci, being the fabulous couture house that it is, has been able to match those two colors absolutely perfectly, which is, you know, a construction technique that's... And then the one next to it is Anne Fogarty. I love that dress. It's lime green with all these wild kind of, you know, geometric patterns on it, covered in sequins. I wear that a lot. And this one here is wonderful, Halston. This was another American designer, Roy Halston, and he was very much into simple shapes. This is actually made of polyester, but the polyester is such high quality, you feel like you're wearing silk. And what I love about Halston is that he had this wonderful comment that his clothing, even with simplicity and the way you can unbutton it the way you want it, he said his clothes whisper sex. And it's wonderful because it's not sort of full out like the Courage or, you know, some of the other dresses I have in the collection, but it really is. It just completely would flatter any, well, a woman of that size, her body.
Yes, I don't think I'll be trying that one on in a hurry. It is the wonderful sort of shirt dress, the long 70s shirt dress. Now, I know it's 25 past 10 and we only have a moment or two left of this broadcast, but we can't be here without... Without talking Little Black Dress.
So we're going back a little bit, a few years. We're now 1948. This is a very important dress for the history of fashion. It's by Dior. He launched the new look in February 1947. This dress came out in 1948. So wonderful nipped in waist, padded hips in the jacket, padded with horsehair, the most exquisite silk you could ever imagine. Unfortunately, nobody's allowed to touch, so you can't, you know, you can only take my word for it. But it is classic new look. So it's very exciting to have a designer like Dior included in this, and something, of course, that a woman would wear after five with a hat. And that was something in the 40s, too. There were these lovely hats.